Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and today we're going to be on letter B again and talking about the Bible and God's book, and we're going to see what he has to say to us today concerning his book. Now, what we've talked about in the past, I just want to welcome you and thank you personally for taking an interest in God's Word and doing it on purpose, because that's how we study God's Word, is on purpose. Because we have everything in this world, and our enemy and the world and this flesh, especially the flesh, fighting us to keep us from God's Word. And everything there is that's anti-God fights us to keep us from being around that book. Because they know that that's God's words and that's God's truth. And if they can keep us away from that, they can keep us away from truth, and anything can happen whenever you don't have the truth. So we've been talking about the Bible. That's study number two in the ABCs of Christian Growth. And we talked about what is the Bible, if you remember. And we went on from there and broke down the books in the Bible as they're broken down in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And categorized them, like the Old Testament with the writings and the history books and poetical wisdom books and the prophets. And then in the New Testament, we broke them down also with the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, the transitional book, and the epistles. And what does epistles mean? It means letters, right? And they were broken into two different categories, the Pauline epistles and the general epistles, and you remember the difference in them, and the prophecy book, which is the book of Revelation. And we talked about how did we receive the Bible, and we went into the subject of inspiration, and that God used human writers, the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So either God's preserving his word or he's not preserving his word. And either he's keeping his promises and he's doing what he said he's going to do, or he's not. One or the other. And I personally know that my affiliation with the Word of God, since the Lord has brought his word into my life, that God's word has never let me down, ever. Now, I've doubted it, and I've had it sitting behind my door on a nice, pretty little dolly on a table while I was bringing cases of beer and dope into my house and out of my house and acting like an idiot. But the Word of God never changed. It kept its dignity and its integrity, and it kept its status no matter how I behaved. But I always knew that God's Word was God's Word. And God has always backed His Word up with me. And when I was honest and sincere with the Lord and with His Word, He's honest and sincere back with me. And God honors those that honor Him, and He honors those that honor His Word. Don't you dare turn against God's Word or despise God's Word. The Bible says in, Psalm 13:13, whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. And not only will God destroy you, but you'll destroy yourself going against God's words. But God authored the Bible. The Holy Ghost authored the Bible using men as instruments to do it with, and inspired it supernaturally through men and used men to do it. And I'm glad he did, because man can't figure that out, can he? Man can't figure out how God does things, and I love the Lord for that, not letting anybody manipulate him or try to figure out how he does things. And I just stand back in awe how the Lord does that. And just about the time somebody thinks they're going to make a fool out of the Lord turn it right back in their face, and they'll be the one with the stupid look on their face. And I just think it's fantastic, because I'm on the Lord's side. Aren't you? And we talked about, do we have the Bible today? And we went over those things. We read in Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And not only did God give us His Word, but He promised to preserve them. And He promised to preserve them for a period of time. He said, from this generation forever. So that means this very second, either God is preserving His words through His promise that He made in His book to us, or either He's not. And I believe He is. I know He is. Don't you? Okay, and then down through the centuries, the Lord used men and used patriots and used Christians, and they gave their lives to keep that book in existence. I mean, God kept it in existence through men. He used men as instruments to even keep it, printing it and spreading it and getting it around. And now you have a copy because somebody else was faithful to the Lord who... Somebody else was faithful to the Lord, and down through history, and here we are. And we have a copy of God's Word because of somebody else's faithfulness to the Word, to the Lord, and to His written Word. Now, do you need to understand Greek and Hebrew to know the Bible? No, you do not. We speak English, and God knew that we speak English, and English was going to be the worldwide language of the last days. And the Lord decided to put His Word in the English language. And there's no such thing on earth today or on this planet today of a person owning an original autograph or an original manuscript and carrying it around that's 1600 years old. It just doesn't exist. It's stupid to even think that. And I don't know why educated men could come up with something so preposterous and think, well, you know, even Hitler said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big lie, tell a whopper, the biggest lie you can tell, tell it as loud as you can tell, and tell it to as many people as you can tell, and they'll believe it. And haven't they went for it? Hadn't they went to that for that big fat worm? There's no such thing on planet Earth today as a person owning a Bible and it not being a copy. You own a copy, I own a copy, and everyone else owns a copy of the Bible. Now, what's the big deal? There is no big deal to God, and there is no big deal to the Lord. It's nothing to Him to make copies of His Word and inspire them, and them be His preserved words, as He said. The King James Bible has been put out, has been copied since 1611 over 809 million times. It's been copied that many times. It's been copied. And remember, we talked about the 160 major languages and 200 minor languages and 300 dialects. It's not a secret. It's not something that's hid in a corner. The King James Bible's been around, and it is around, and it's still the bestseller out of all any three of the other translation so-called copies, and outsells the three. Now, why are people interested in that book if it's nothing and it's just another book? You know, I know better, you know better, and everybody else knows better. So, what we're going to talk about today is: does the Bible teach that God's word? Does the Bible teach that God commands and inspires copies of His Word? In other words, is there some places in the Scriptures where we can look and see examples of where God used His words and then copied His words and used them the same way as inspired and claimed them as His own personal words, even the copies? Well, yes, there is. There's three different instances in the Scriptures, as a matter of fact, and we're going to go over those. Got quite a bit of Scripture I want to read to you concerning these, so let's go ahead and get into them, okay? All right, now, the answer is yes. Yes, God does use copies. God has taught us very openly and honestly that He has in the past commanded copies to be made of His Word and referred to the copies as being just as much His doing as the originals that they were written after. He also shows us that they are just as preserved, pure, and inspired as the ones being copied out. Now, let's look at three different places in the Holy Scriptures and see where God did it. The first place that we're going to look is the example of God and Moses. And that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 9. And I'll go ahead and give you the scriptures here. I'll try to remember to give them back to you at the end of this session here. But Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9 and 10 and 17 is what we're going to look at. And then we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. So I'll read the scriptures to you. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stones written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Of course, we see that this is Moses talking. He's explaining the situation of how he got God's word written down with the finger of God. God's words written down with the finger of God in writing on tables of stone delivered to Moses. And Moses was telling the people, you remember that. And he wrote down all the words that he talked to you from the mount. Okay? And then Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 17, we find out what Moses did with those two tables of stones. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before their eyes. Remember when Moses and Joshua were coming down off of the mount, and Joshua said, it sounded like war in the camp. And Moses said, that don't sound like war. That sounded like wickedness. And not exactly like that, but that's what they said. Coming down off that mount, and then when they got down there where they could see everything, all the dancing and drinking and whoring around and idol worship and the calf and all that, Moses got mad and threw God's words on those written stones, threw them, and broke them all to pieces. He got and made him angry, and he broke them all to pieces. Well, we said all that to say this. What was the result of God's word? What did God do after Moses broke those two tables of stone? Well, and broke God's written word. That was God's written word down by the finger of God. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, let's see the result. And at that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. Oh, well, look at here. We see that God wrote his words down, and those were the originals, remember? And the originals came down with Moses and Joshua, and the originals got thrown off the mountain because Moses was mad and broken all to pieces. God's words were broken all to pieces. The originals were broken all to pieces. Okay, well, what happened? Well, God called them back up, said, bring two more tables of stones, and I'm going to write all the words that I wrote on the first tables, and I'm going to give them back to you, and you put them in this ark. So God made a copy of the originals and called them his words and even said, put them in the ark. Oh, there we go. Does the Bible teach that God commands and inspires copies of his word? Yes, he does. Right there. He did it way back with Moses' time. Let's look at another one. Well, let's ask some questions about this one. What was written on the tables? Verse 10. At that time, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Come up with me into the mount and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in, what was written on the first tables. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake. Remember what we talked about? How the Lord spake to the men, and the men spake, and then other men wrote it down? God hasn't changed things. Things ain't changed. It's dope. The Lord operates the same way. It's men that mess everything up and lie and all that. Look, it's right there in front of your face, written down. What was written on the tables? God's words were written on the table. What happened to the original tables? Well, in verse 17, Moses cast them and broke them. All right, in chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord said, "Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first ones." All right, and then in verse 2 of chapter 10, he said, "And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables." He made copies. Did God write his words down for men? Yes. What happened to the originals? Well, they got busted up. All right. Did God preserve his words, his written words, his written words? Did he preserve them? Yes, he did. How did God preserve the written words? He wrote them down again, didn't he? And he had Moses put them in the ark this time. Here's the last question concerning that one. Who was in control of the whole process? God was, wasn't he? Okay. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. This is concerning God's law to kings that sit upon the throne. You see, whenever a king would get on the throne, God had laws for the kings alone that they were required to do things. And one thing that they were required to do, like, for instance, here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord is laying out the rules or the law for what a king is to do and to not do. And one thing that we want to notice is found in particularly verse 18, excuse me, 18 and 19, and what verses we're in now is Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 14 through 20, if you want to go there. Okay, so in Deuteronomy chapter 17, 14 through 20, we see in verse 18, well, let me go ahead and read it to you. This is Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20. And what the Bible's talking about is what God's rules are for kings when they sit on the throne. And listen to this, and it's concerning God's words. Remember what we're talking about. "Now, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt anywise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee." Now, these are rules that God's making concerning a king, which is not thy brother. "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne," now listen to this, "of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites." The Bible that God gave to the priests and the Levites with his words written in there, God made it a rule for the kings when they got on the throne that they had to take that copy, take that Bible that the Levites and the priests had, and he had to personally write him a copy in a book of that. "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So we see here that God had rules for the kings. And remember what we're talking about. Does the Bible teach that God commands and inspires copies of his word? Okay, well, apparently he does in this situation too, because he commands the kings that are over the kingdom, give them rules of what they could do, what they couldn't do. And one requirement that a king was to do while he was on the throne was to take the book from the Levites with God's words in it, and he was to write himself a personal copy, himself with his own hands and his own fingers, and write God's words down specifically in another book so that he could read his own copy of God's words and not mess up. So, does God authorize copies of his word and preserve them and also inspire them? God said to write all his words down so that he could read his words and not mess up as a king. So God said that when he wrote those words down and copied them with his hands and wrote them down, that they were still God's preserved words in the king's copy. Did you get that? Excuse me. All right, so here we go. Here's some questions concerning this part of our study. The Bible said, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites." That's a commandment from God for him to write God's words down again for himself in another book. Now, what was the task to be done? The task to be done was to rewrite God's words down in another book. Who was to perform the task? The man, the king, was to do it. He was commanded, if he sat on the throne, he was to take that copy and copy it down word for word and write God's words down in another book so he'd have a personal Bible. Who was to perform the task? The king was to perform the task. Who gave the order? God gave the order. Was there a copy involved? Yes, there was. There was a copy involved. Did God consider the copy to be his inspired word? Yes, he did. He told the king so he could read in there all the days. So thou shalt read therein all the days of thy life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. God must have thought that those were his words and his statutes and his laws if he commanded the king to keep it. Okay? Did God hold the king responsible for reading the copy? Yes, he did. He commanded it and held him responsible. Does God produce pure, preserved, inspired copies of his word? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Two examples we've seen in the scriptures, both of them in the Old Testament, of course, which is fine. Now, the third one and the last one that I want to bring to your attention is a pretty long one, but is a pretty neat. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 36. And if you want to turn there, I'm going to read the chapter so you can see what happens. But you go back and read it when we're all over with. And I know you do, and you should. You ought to be reading your Bible. And you've got material to read, and you're getting this stuff, and it's exciting, and it's true. And you can see where God is telling us the truth, and you can trust in that. And you don't have to listen to any liars or any man telling you any different. Your Bible says this. This is what you go by. Now, the third one is God and Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 36. In this part of God's Word, we find that the Lord is commanding Jeremiah to write his words down in a book. And the book is read publicly and even reaches the king and is read before the king. Well, before the reader even finishes reading before the king takes a penknife and cuts the book up and burns it in the fireplace. Well, there's some, just like Moses did whenever Moses threw the tablet, threw God's word at the stone, written on stones by the finger of God, and he broke those to pieces. There was a reaction by God for Moses to get two more tables and bring them up there that were blanks, and God wrote the words down on it again. He told him to put them in the ark. Well, there was also a reaction by God when this king heard God's words and broke and threw them and cut the papers up. That's how man does. He gets offended by listening to words, and he takes a pen and cuts the paper up and thinks that stops God, right? Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch. Remember we talked about Baruch. He was the actual fellow that sat there with the pen and paper and heard the words of Jeremiah and wrote them down. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. Did you get that? Let me repeat that. And Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and they're sitting there together. And Baruch wrote from the mouth. What comes from the mouth? Inspiration, words, come from the mouth, wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. Did you hear that? He wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. The Lord's words came out of the mouth of Jeremiah, and Baruch heard them, and he wrote them, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord. There it is again. Now you wrote it down, the words of the Lord from my mouth. Did you get that? There's no secret in that. How hard is that to understand? Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Notice he took the book that he wrote when he heard Jeremiah speak, and he wrote those words down and called them the words of the Lord. And then he took the book, went to the house of God, and read before the people, said the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Okay, so we've got him reading the book that the Lord told Jeremiah, and Baruch wrote it down. Okay, and as we move on here, when Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Akbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehuda, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them, and they said unto him, sit down now and read in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they heard all the words, they were afraid both one of another, one and another. and said unto Barak, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Now listen to this. This is important. Then Barak answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. That's inspiration. Did you get that? Then said the princes unto Barak, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehoiada and fetched the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehoiada read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehoiada had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah the son of Abdiel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now, let's update. Here's what's happened. The Lord commanded Jeremiah to sit down, and the Lord spake through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, with Jeremiah's voice, spake God's words. Barak sat beside him with a roll and a pen and ink, and sat down there and wrote down the words. Jeremiah told Barak, said, Go read it in the house of the Lord. He goes and reads it in the house of the Lord, and some people get excited. And then he goes into another place and reads it again, and some officials hear the word of the Lord spoken. So they go get Barak and bring the Bible and go read it before all the big shots. And they go read it before them, and then they tell Barak, go get Jeremiah and y'all go hide. We're going to go read these words before the Lord, or before the king. So they go and they read it before the king, or they hide the book, and then they go read before the king, and the king says, go fetch the book. And we bring the book back, and they read three or four leaves, and the king gets mad, and he takes a knife and cuts the paper all up and throws it in the fire. Throws God's word in the fire and burns it up. Well, here's where we pick up, and here's what happened after the king burned it. Okay, you ready? Elnathan and Delathiah, Gemariah, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, and the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Barak, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, here it is, after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it unto Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book from Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. Yeah, there we go. Perfect illustrations in the scriptures of where God is not ashamed to write his words down on copies and call them his words. And you see how he preserved them? People cut them up with knives. People burned them. People threw them off of mountains and broke them all to pieces. The kings were required to copy these things, copy God's words down. And you see where God is not ashamed to make copies. So does the Bible teach that God commands and inspires copies of his word? Yes. Now here's some questions for the last part and we'll finish today's lesson. Who destroyed the first book with God's words? The king did. Who ordered the copy to be written? The Lord did. What was written in the copied book? All the words that were written in the first book, right? Who was in control of all the situation? God was in control of it, wasn't he? Did the king get rid of God's words? No. He got rid of the originals, didn't he? Excuse me. Did God preserve his pure word like he promised? Yes, he did. Do you believe God could keep and have his word present today? Yes, of course he can. And it's in the King James Authorized Version 1611, King James Bible. And we do have God's inspired, preserved, and errant word from the living God with us today. Except you're reading it from a copy. Big deal, right? God uses copies all down through history. The devil's a liar, and all those that are trying to lift themselves up and magnify themselves and their education and their wisdom and their knowledge and their intelligence and everything else. God says, the Lord said that the things that are highly esteemed with men are an abomination to the Lord. When man thinks so highly of himself and thinks he's something, the Lord said, no flesh is going to glory in front of him. He's God. So we love the Lord, don't we? And we appreciate his truth. And look what he's shown us today. It's nothing, no big deal for the Lord to make copies. And you hold in your hand the very words of the living God and the sense of his words to where you can sit down in English and read and understand what God's will is. Okay? So it's been a good day. Thank you for listening. And you go over those scriptures again and read them and believe them. Bye-bye.